Well, we're continuing our study in Psalm 23 this morning. Pumla read it for us a little bit earlier on, but keep your Bibles open at the Psalm. It's good just to follow along. Last week, I reminded you of the main purpose of the Psalm. The main purpose of the Psalm lies in its first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. Basically, David is saying, when you've got Jesus, you don't need anything else. And that's the central theme of the psalm. If you forget everything else about the psalm, friends, don't lose sight of that. That when you have Jesus, you have every single thing you would ever need in every single way. And then we began to look at some of the benefits we have of following Christ. We saw, first of all, that he brings us to a place of rest, that he's our source of refreshing, and that he reconnects us to the Father. And we want to continue just looking at some of the blessings that we have when Jesus is our shepherd. So the fourth blessing that David mentions in this passage is he reminds us, friends, that Jesus is our righteousness. We've been singing about it this morning. That's why I chose those choruses. Jesus is our righteousness. The psalmist puts it in this way. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Friend, I don't know if you've ever tried to be good, but you know, when you're a principal of a school, you very quickly realize when you tell children not to do something, that is the very thing they want to do. Is that not the case? You know that, don't you? The minute you tell them, so don't do this, they do it. But you know, we are no different. Doesn't matter if you are a child. If you tell an adult not to do something, friends, the reality is that we live in a fallen world. And the world in which we live in, friends, bends us towards doing that which is not of God, doing that which pleases ourselves. But for us as Christians, we have Jesus. He is our righteousness. One day when we stand before God, friends, we don't stand before God in our own strengths. We don't stand before God in our own goodness. We don't stand before God in our own abilities or our own good works. We stand before God, friends, because it is Jesus who has led us in the paths of righteousness. He is the one who goes before us. He is the one who appears before the Father in our place. He is the one who shows us how we need to live. He is the one, friends, who the technical theological word for us, he is the one who imputes righteousness within us. You don't need to drink sunlight soap, friends, to keep clean. Because if you have absorbed Jesus into your heart, in your life, then you get led by him in the paths of righteousness. Let me give you some verses. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. For by his doing, you are in Christ, who became to us foolishness from God, the righteousness and satisfaction, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus, friends, becomes our righteousness. Romans 1 verse 17 puts it in him. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous man will live by faith. We are righteous, friends, because we have put our faith and trust in what Jesus has done for us, not in our own ability. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says this, He made him, that's God, made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Psalm 79 verse 9 says, Help us, Lord, our God, our Savior, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. But one of the clearest passages in Ephesians, Ephesians 1 verses 3 to 6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise and glory of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he has chosen us. Friends, we live right lives not because we are righteous. We follow the one who leads us in paths of righteousness. Man, this is the one liberating message of the gospel. Just imagine being a Muslim, having to fulfill all those laws all the time. Got to pray five times a day. Got to go to Mecca. Got to, fast. Got to give tithes. Got to. Friends, I don't know about you, but the more, as I said at the beginning, the more somebody tells me to do something, the more I don't want to do it. But we don't need to do anything, friends, except put our faith in the righteousness of Jesus. Isn't that liberating? Isn't that wonderfully encouraging for us? One of the great benefits we have. Friends, Jesus is all you need. Number five. Well, if he's our righteousness, the next one seems kind of wrong. Why do we need this? Because the next part of the verse says, He has and is sanctifying us. Look what it says in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Unfortunately, we've misunderstood what that word comfort means. We kind of think when we listen to that verse, word comfort, that this is what happens to us when a loved one dies. God is our comfort. But friends, the word comfort means something very different. In Hebrew, it means he is the one who helps me to be sorry or to be comforted or to repent of my sin. That's what it means. When we're going through this world, friends, when we're walking through this world, even although we have been declared righteous, friends, our Satan is tempting us at all points in every single way in our lives. And so he tells us, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, What he's meaning by that part of the verse is, when you are going through this life, because we're always living in the shadow of death, there is nobody's going to escape death, friends, other than those who will be alive when Jesus comes again. But the reality is, we're all live in the light of death. You're not going to escape it. That's why he says, when you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, what does Jesus do? With his rod, he protects us from the evil one. And with his staff, he redeems us when we have made a mistake. Friends, this is Jesus' work in helping to sanctify us. Sanctify means the work Jesus does to help us be more in tune and in touch with who God is. Friends, he's doing that all the time. He's leading us. There is no peace for the person who has drifted away from the Lord. I was watching a little clip on Facebook yesterday, and the clip made it very clear that you can never run from the presence of the Holy Spirit. Even if you think, friends, you can hide from God, friends, if Jesus is in you, he will remind you of your need of him in every single way. We must never forget that reality. Number six, the sixth benefit. The sixth benefit, friends, is he's preparing us for heaven. Man, this is a good one. You may not think so. Look what he says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Friend, the banquet David is being reminded of is not the food he ate here in heaven. Here on earth. The banquet that David was looking forward to, friends, was the occasion when he would be in the presence of God forever. Around the table of the Father. The anointing of oil is the representation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And friends, we are being invited as guests to that table. And the cup, friends, is the cup of salvation. When Jesus sat around the Lord's Supper, he offered us a cup. Drink from this cup. Friends, that cup is the cup of the new covenant. And that cup is the cup of the cup of salvation. That is the cup that we need to prepare us for heaven. The table, the banquet, we will share with our Father for all eternity. The presence of the Holy Spirit, as you will know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given for certain occasions, but he was taken away when that occasion was not being fulfilled. But friends, we have the Spirit of God with us at all points in time. We're not going to be surprised when we go to heaven, friends, because we already have God within us. It's not something that'll take us off God. Those are the benefits of following Jesus. He gives us rest. He gives us restoration. He reconnects us to the Father. He is our righteousness. He helps sanctify us. And friends, he's preparing us for heaven. What a great benefit we have. Jesus does it all. How does he do it? Well, the third main point the psalmist makes is remind us of the central character of the psalm. Jesus, friends, is portrayed in three ways in this particular psalm. He's portrayed, first of all, as the shepherd. He's our shepherd. Well, friends, we're reminded the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But what's he talking about? He's talking about what Jesus said in John 10. In John 10, verse 7, it says this, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the shepherd. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And went on to say, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Who's David talking about when he talks about the Lord is my shepherd? He's talking about Jesus, friends. Jesus is the one who has our shepherds. But then in he carries on in verse saying, he guides me. So Jesus isn't only our shepherd, he's our guide. John 14 verses 1 through 6 says this, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? What does Jesus say? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Friends, Jesus is the shepherd, but he's also the ultimate guide. There is only one who can take us into the presence of heaven, and that is Jesus himself. But his task doesn't end there. Because while he is our shepherd and our guide, he's also the host. He's the one, friends, in heaven who's going to host us in that great party. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Look what Jesus says in John 4. Jesus answered, anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Friends, when we sup, when we drink from Jesus, when he fills our soul, friends, we will never thirst. But not only we will never thirst, friends, we will never grow hungry again. John 6, verse 35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Friends, Jesus isn't only our shepherd. Jesus isn't only our guide. He's also the one who's going to host the most incredible party there ever will be. Are you looking forward to it? Man, I hope you are. What a great day of rejoicing that's going to be one day when we enter into eternity, because Jesus has been our shepherd, our guide, and our host. But he ends off the psalm with one final message for us. What is the message? Friends, the message is this. The ultimate benefit of following Jesus is that we will have a full and a meaningful life. Look what verse 6 says. David writes, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Friend, only a true Christian can understand what a full and meaningful life is. You may be living, you may be breathing, but until you've accepted Jesus, until he becomes the Lord of your life, until he's fully in charge of your life, friends, you don't understand what a life full of meaning is all about. I'm not talking about an easy life. I'm not talking about a wealthy life. I'm not talking about a life, friends, that doesn't have difficulties. I'm talking about a life of meaning. Like the David experienced, surely goodness, God's goodness, God's mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But friends, David isn't only reminded that we will have a full and meaningful life, but we will also have an eternal life, because he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let me ask you, as I bring this message to a close, why would you want to follow anybody else? Why would you want to follow Islam with all its rules and regulations, with no guarantee of eternity, with a leader that had made many sins in his life? Why would you want to follow Buddha? Buddha himself said he is not God. Buddha himself. You don't have to trust anybody else, friends. Why would you want to follow Hinduism? You know, the very basis of Hinduism, the basis of Hinduism is a belief in a cyclical existence, that you die and you kind of, if you've been good, you come back as something better, and if you're bad, you come back as something worse. When science has told us that this life is not cyclical but linear, the scientific world has told us we're moving towards a conclusion. It may be billions of years away, friends, but the end of the earth is certain. There's going to come an end point. Why would you follow a system of religion which has no guarantee as to what's going to happen at the end? Friend, why would you not follow Jesus? After all, David understood it. The Lord is my shepherd. With him, I lack nothing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you satisfy. You not only satisfy, but you fulfill every need we could ever have as people. Lord, everything that we need for this life and the next, we can discover in you. Help us to be like David, Lord. Help us to truly declare you as our shepherd, the one who fulfills all our needs. Help us to wholly follow you. Help us, Lord, to be excited about that. Help us to be ready to tell others that there's nobody else other than you, Lord. Lord, what a liberating message. Thank you that you've led us into this wonderful truth. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.